All glories to Sri Guru Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we chanted this verse yesterday, so we just chant it again. Bhutanam Deva Charitam. Bhutanam Deva Charitam. Dukhaya cha sukaya cha dukkhaya cha sahaya cha sukaya eva hi sadhunam sukaya eva hi sadhunam Tvadrisham Achutatmanam Tvadrisham Achutatmanam Bhutanam Devacharitam Dukhaya cha Sukhaya cha Sukhaya vahi sadhunam Tvadrisham achutatmanam Bhutanam devacharitam Dukhaya cha sukhaya cha Sukhaya vahi sadhunam Tvadrisham achutatmanam Matajis, anyone else? Bhutanam of the living beings, Devacharitam, the activities of the demigods, Dukhaya, result in the misery, Cha, also, Sukhaya, in happiness, Cha, as well, Sukhaya, in happiness, Eva, only, He, indeed, sadhunam, that of saints, tvadrisham, like you, achyuta, the infallible supreme Lord, atmanam, who have accepted as their very soul. Translation and purport by, this is by the disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Make sure we get that right. Hare Krishna. The activities of the demigods, Hare Krishna, lead to both misery and happiness for the living beings. But the activities of great saints like you, who have accepted the infallible Lord as their very soul, result only in the happiness of all beings. Please repeat. The activities of the demigods lead to both misery and happiness for living beings. But the activities of great saints like you, who have accepted the infallible Lord as their very soul, result only in the happiness of all beings. So we're continuing the purport from about the middle here. But just to back up just a little bit. Thus the demigods bestow either happiness or suffering upon living beings in accordance with the performance of sacrifice. As stated here, however, great saintly persons such as Narada Muni are always merciful to all living beings. Tatikshava karunaka surhida sarvadehinam ajata satrava santa sadava sadubhushanaha. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies, he is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Bhagavad Gita 3:25-21. Srila Prabhupada, in his commentary on this verse, has portrayed the sadhu as follows. A sadhu, as described above, is a devotee of the Lord. His concern, therefore, is to enlighten people in devotional service to the Lord. That is his mercy. He knows that without devotional service to the Lord, human life is spoiled. A devotee travels all over the country, door to door preaching. Be Krishna conscious. Be a devotee of Lord Krishna. Don't spoil your life in simply fulfilling your animal propensities. Human life is meant for self-realization or Krishna consciousness. These are the preachings of a sadhu. He is not satisfied with his own liberation. He always thinks about others. He is the most compassionate personality toward all the fallen souls. One of his qualifications, therefore, is karunaka, great mercy to the fallen souls. While engaged in preaching work, he has to meet with so many opposing elements, and therefore the sadhu, or the devotee of the Lord, has to be very tolerant. Someone may ill-treat him because the conditioned souls are not prepared to receive the transcendental knowledge of devotional service. They do not like it. That is their disease. The sadhu has the thankless task of impressing upon them the importance of devotional service. Sometimes devotees are personally attacked with violence. Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Haridas Thakur was caned in 22 marketplaces. And Lord Chaitanya's principal assistant, Nityananda, was violently attacked by Jagai and Madai. But still, they were tolerant because their mission was to deliver the fallen souls. One of the qualifications of a sadhu is that he is very tolerant and is merciful to all fallen souls. He is merciful because he is a well-wisher of all living entities. He is not only a well-wisher of human society, but a well-wisher of the animal society as well. It is said here, Sarva Dehinam, which indicates all living entities who have accepted material bodies. Not only does a human being have a material body, but other living entities, such as cats and dogs, also have material bodies. The devotee of the Lord is merciful to everyone, the cats, the dogs, the trees, etc. He treats all living entities in such a way that they can ultimately get salvation from this material entanglement. Shivananda Sen, one of the disciples of Lord Chaitanya, gave liberation to a dog by treating the dog transcendentally. There are many instances where a dog got salvation by association with a sadhu. Because a sadhu engages in the highest philanthropic activities for the benediction of all living entities, although the sadhu is not inimical toward anyone, the world is so ungrateful that even a sadhu has many enemies. Should I continue or? I don't know. Okay, I just continue then. What is the difference between an enemy and a friend? It is a difference in behavior. A sadhu behaves with all conditioned souls for their ultimate relief from material entanglement. Therefore, no one can be more friendly than the sadhu in relieving a conditioned soul. A sadhu is calm, and he quietly and peacefully follows the principles of scripture, and at the same time he is a devotee of the Lord. One who actually follows the principles of scripture must be a devotee of God, because all the shastras instruct us to obey the orders of the personality of Godhead. Sadhu, therefore, means a follower of the scriptural injunctions and a devotee of the Lord. All these characteristics are prominent in a devotee. A devotee develops all the good qualities of the demigods, whereas a non-devotee, even though academically qualified, has no actual good qualifications or good characteristics according to the standards of transcendental realization. Vasudeva, therefore, has used the word sadhu to describe Narada Muni, indicating that the position of the devotee of the Lord is superior even to that of the demigods. Does anyone have some tissue? Forgot my handkerchief. So just this last paragraph, Prabhupada used this example how the qualifications of the materialist are like zeros. So you have so many qualifications, your MBA, your PhD, your so many qualifications may be there. But he says all these qualifications are like zeros. Here it said, even though one is academically qualified, it means nothing. Until one puts Krishna in front of all these things. Then if you have many, many zeros, you put the one in front of the zeros, then the number becomes quite significant. So this is the first point. The devotees have put Krishna in the center of their lives. And then whatever qualifications we may have, because we're connecting it with Krishna, then it becomes significant. Excuse me. Okay. So, I know everybody likes to hear stories. Would you like to hear a story? What is the difference between an enemy and a friend? So, it's better to have an intelligent enemy than a foolish friend. You know this story? The devotees of Krishna are most intelligent. But this is a story a little bit. different. So once upon a time there was a king, and he went into the forest, and he found a monkey. And he liked the monkey very much. So the king brought back the monkey to the palace. And everybody was thinking, oh, why the king has brought a monkey into the palace? And the king said, no, he is my friend. So then the king became more and more friendly with this monkey. And the monkey was, of course, very, very happy, living in the palace, associating with the king. So he became very, very much a servant of the king. So anyway, the king also saw this, so he even gave the monkey his sword. So now the monkey was very proud. He had the sword of the king. And the king was very happy that he had such a good friend. So one day the king decided to take a nap. And the monkey was right by his side, his faithful servant. And then some flies landed on the king's nose. So the monkey said, no, I won't let this fly disturb the sleep of my king. So he gets a whisk. First his hand, then he gets the whisk. But again the fly goes and lands back on the nose of the king. Again with the whisk. Fly goes, lands back. So then the monkey, he becomes very agitated. And he pulls out the sword. He says, I'm going to teach this fly. And he takes the sword on the fly. But guess what? The fly was right on the nose of the king. So he killed the king. So he was thinking how to serve the king, but he was a fool. So by serving the king, he actually killed him. So this is a foolish friend. On the other hand, if one has an intelligent enemy, then he's better situated. Do you want to hear the story of the intelligent enemy? So there was three men. They were in the mountains and they were mining. And they found some very, very valuable jewels. So they had gathered many valuable jewels and they were going back into town to sell them. So they were sitting around the fire and they were discussing how they were going to go back and spend all this money. Meanwhile, there's a man. He's listening. Oh, they have so many jewels. He's thinking to himself, let me kill these people and then take their jewels. So he's thinking like that. So he's their enemy. He wants to kill them and take their jewels. So then he's listening a little bit further, and they're discussing, oh, there's one village where there's a very powerful dacoit king. And if we go through that place, then the king will know that we have the jewels, and he'll kill us and he'll take these jewels. So then this man is listening to all this. And anyway, he goes and he makes friends with the men. And he tells them how he's, you know, lost in the mountains. And he needs to get back. And he would very much appreciate it if he could join with them. And the three men, they were nice guys. So they said, yeah, sure, no problem. They didn't say anything about the jewels to him up front. Then they started going. And sure enough, they came to the place where they knew that they were going to meet this village with this dacoit king. So they knew, okay, well, if we go through here, they're going to see that we have jewels. So they decided that we'll swallow the jewels. So they didn't tell the friend, but he somehow heard these things. So he knew that the three men, they had swallowed the jewels were in their stomach, and he didn't have the jewels in his stomach. So he was hoping that by this trick, they would go through. But the king, he had a very, very clairvoyant minister. And when the three men came into the village, he told the king, these people have jewels. They have very, very valuable jewels. You should stop them and take the jewels. So the king said, okay. So he stopped the men. And they were searched. But they couldn't find anything. So the king said, he's wrong. He let them go. So off they went again. Then the minister again came and said, no. They have jewels. I'm certain of it. You have to check further. So then they came. They were checked. They still couldn't find the jewels. So then the minister said, I know they have them. They must be hiding them inside their bellies. They must have swallowed them. So you cut them open and you'll find that they have the jewels. So at this point, the enemy of the three men, he was thinking to himself, well, these men have been so nice to me, and now, if they cut open one of these men, they'll find the jewels. And if they find the jewels in one person, then they'll assume that all of us have jewels inside, and they'll cut all of us open, and they'll kill all of us. But, if they cut me open, and they find no jewels, then they'll assume that none of us have jewels in the stomach, and they'll let the other three go. So, he said, okay, you can cut us open, but take me first. So he was an enemy. He wanted to kill them. He wanted to steal the jewels. But because he was intelligent, he saw, oh, these men are nice. This man is dacoit. Let me somehow or another serve these saintly persons. They're nice persons. So the king cut him open. He didn't find any jewels. Then he let the other three men go. And they went into the big village and sold their jewels and made their fortune. So this is the story of intelligent enemy or foolish friend. So better to have an intelligent enemy than foolish friend. But better to have an intelligent, saintly person as your friend, such as Narada Muni. So Narada Muni is not only intelligent, but he's a friend of all living entities. There are so many fools and rascals out there preaching. They're preaching so much nonsense. One time when Prabhupada was preaching in the early days, he was slamming Ramakrishna Mission. And then some of the disciples, they became disturbed. He's a saintly person. Why is he so heavy criticizing? He shouldn't criticize. And actually they were so distressed by this heavy preaching mood of Srila Prabhupada that they left. They were disturbed by it. Prabhupada, he's too heavy with these people. Why is he so heavy? So they went outside. And then Kirtanananda, he went to them as Umapadi and Hayagriva. So he went to them, I'm leaving the Swami. He's too critical. And then Umapadi, Wally at that time, and Howard, they said, yeah, that's what we were thinking. The Swami, he's too heavy. He's just criticizing people. We're just not going to go there anymore. And then Keith Kirtanananda, he slammed his fist down. Are you crazy? I would never leave the Swami. He says, if you have some problems, you should go and talk with him personally. He'll be able to alleviate your doubts. So then they decided, oh, okay. So they went back. And they spoke with Srila Prabhupada. And he says, so, why have you gone away? He says, Swamiji, you've been criticizing the Buddhists, you've been criticizing Ramakrishna. We don't like it. We don't like the way you criticize. And Prabhupada said, it's my duty to clarify. So I have nothing against the Buddhists. But the followers of Buddha now, they're eating meat. Buddha taught ahimsa, and now Buddhas are eating meat. So what is this? I have to say. And Ramakrishna, he's preaching so much nonsense. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is standing right next to Arjuna. He's speaking to Arjuna. And in Ramakrishna's Bhagavad Gita, he's saying, yes, you should look within to see Krishna. How is it you need to look within? Krishna is standing right in front of you. And yet he's speaking this nonsense. So Prabhupada is clarifying what is what. Bhagavad Gita as it is, he teaches. Not as it was or as it should be or as is nonsense. No, as it is. He's teaching us the real deal. He wants us to know what is what. So the saintly persons, they're teaching us the reality, the difference between reality and illusion. Because this material world is full of illusion. And we're so convinced that we're this material body, that I'm from India, I'm from America, I'm PhD, I'm street singer, whatever it is we identify with, we're thinking this to be reality. But the saintly persons, they're like sadhus. Sadhu means sharp, cut like a knife. They cut through this illusion. You have to cut through the illusion to reveal the reality. What is that reality? That I am a servant of Krishna. That my human form is very, very important. I need to take advantage of this situation. Rare opportunity to serve Krishna. Not waste my life pursuing animalistic propensities, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. These things are there for the animals. If we waste our life simply in these type of things, then our human life is spoiled. So the sadhu, he goes out and he preaches this message. He goes door to door. He goes country to country. He's traveling constantly, trying to impress upon people the necessity of utilizing the human form. Utilizing this rare, rare opportunity to serve Krishna. Be Krishna conscious. Be a devotee of Lord Krishna. Don't spoil your human life. Human life is meant for self-realization. He's not even satisfied with his own liberation. Prabhupada was very well situated in Vrindavan. Radhadar Damodar temple, he was there, he had his place. He could have just stayed there. So many sadhus, they just stay in Vrindavan. They never leave Vrindavan. But that was not his mood. Srila Prabhupada's mood was to follow the order of his spiritual master, to take this Krishna consciousness to the west. He was ordered by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj to take this message to the west, to spread Krishna consciousness, so that in every town and village, this holy name could be heard. What is that holy name? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because he knew that this is going to make people happy. Prabhupada's motto, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. What simple thing. In the early days, people were doing such nonsense. He just said, just chant this mantra and you'll be happy. And talk about tolerance. Prabhupada was so tolerant in the early days. He was preaching to who? To all these hippies. They were all drug addicts and space cases. And It's a very, very difficult situation. Umapati Swamiji wrote this book, and he's explaining how one of his friends was very, very much into drugs at one point. He'd come to Krishna consciousness, but then he went out and he started taking drugs again. So he was taking a lot of drugs. And somehow or another, Umapati Prabhu, he convinced him to come back. So he noted that when he was coming back and quitting the drugs, that all these impurities, because intoxication, what does intoxication mean? Toxic, what does it mean? Toxic means poison. So intoxication means you're taking poison into your body. This is the meaning. So anyway, he had stopped taking the drugs and he was living with Umapati. And Umapati was noting how badly the smell from his body was. Because he was coming off of the drugs, all this poison was coming out. And he said it smelled really, really bad. And then he remembered how when they first joined, that all the people that were coming to the temple and meeting with Prabhupada, they were all the same, you know. They were all coming down. The temple in those days was known as a place to for re-entering into reality after getting high all night. They would go out and get completely intoxicated on LSD and so many drugs. And then they would come to the temple in the morning. They'd stay up all night. And then they would come to the temple in the morning, you know, for what they call re-entry. To kind of like get back to... And he was thinking how tolerant Srila Prabhupada was. Because, you know, all these hippies and how he used to step across the, you know, people sleeping in his doorway, drunk people, smelling of alcohol and urine and, what did, you know, the Bowery. If you've ever been to these places where these people live, it's just, you know, it's pretty awful. And he was noting how Prabhupada was preaching to them, but he never said anything. He just tolerated it. He just saw the good. He just saw that small spiritual spark, that tiny, tiny bit of interest in Krishna consciousness. And how he fanned that spark ever so gently to create a small fire and then a big flame, that fire of devotional service. Huh? This fire of the holy name, which burns up all the material desires. So Srila Prabhupada was extremely tolerant and extremely merciful. Who could be more merciful than Srila Prabhupada? How he was able to convince people to take up this chanting. And Prabhupada was friendly to all the living entities. He didn't distinguish. Fudri Narayan sometimes tells this story. Prabhupada was walking in Beverly Hills. And he said, one day, I don't know if you know Beverly Hills, but it's a very, very opulent area in Los Angeles. So he sees a big car. He says, one day we'll have a big car like this for Krishna. And all the disciples go, Jai Prabhupada! Then he looks at a big house and he says, one day we'll have a big house like this for Krishna. Everybody goes, Jai Prabhupada! Then he sees a big dog go by. Prabhupada says, one day we'll have a big dog like this for Krishna. And all the disciples go, Jai Prabhupada! Then Prabhupada looks back and he goes, why would we want a dog? So in one sense, Prabhupada saw the living entity in all, you know, that spiritual spark in all living entities, including the dogs. But he also knew the difference how to handle each living entity. Anyway, it's a good story. So also the sadhu, Narada Muni, Srila Prabhupada, they abide by the scriptures. This is very important. Nowadays, so many people are claiming to be avatars or, you know, incarnations of God. That's a very cheap fashion to claim to be an avatar. But if one studies the scriptures, then you can immediately see the avatars or the incarnations of Krishna. They're foretold in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The symptoms are described So one time somebody was saying about Sai Baba, because he's claiming, you know, I once was Rama, I once was Krishna, and now I'm Sai Baba, like this. But he said that it's all known that Sai Baba was in a car accident. He said, Krishna doesn't get in accidents. So we can understand from the scriptures who a real avatar is. So don't be fooled. And all the characteristics of a sadhu are sublime. He has all good qualities. And in this purport also, it's being described that the symptoms of the sadhu, the characteristics of the sadhu, or the Vaishnava, is even greater than that of the demigods. Because even the demigods are subjected to happiness and distress. Right? When Indra was thinking that his happiness was challenged, then he became angry. He wanted to oppose his enemies. So even the king of heaven feels threatened. Even the king of heaven feels threatened. What to speak of us? So Abrahma, Bhuvanaloka, from the highest planet down to the lowest planet, all of them are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. So in this material world, there is no shelter. We cannot solve material problems with material solutions, even though we may try very hard. The only real solution to material problems is a spiritual solution. We have to look towards the saintly persons. We have to abide by the instructions in the scriptures. We have to take shelter of the devotees, take shelter of the holy name, try to serve the devotees nicely. Always keep the holy name on our tongues and in our minds. And always try to imbibe this mood that Srila Prabhupada had, that all the great previous acharyas had, of giving Krishna consciousness to others. This is the mood of Srila Prabhupada. So we have to take up this mood. So whatever service we may have, it doesn't matter. But the underlying mood of the devotee is, somehow or other, let me try to help this mission to spread Krishna consciousness, to give this very, very, very valuable gift that has been bestowed upon us, and to share it far and wide with all we meet, and try to do our little bit to help spread Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there's some questions or comments, we can answer something. One thing that I've noticed is that we have a lot of very, very wonderful devotees in our movement. And we can see that devotees are a very special people. Sometimes we read in the scriptures and we read, oh, that's in Bhagavatam, oh, that's in Bhagavad Gita, oh, that's Arjuna, or that's Sachimata, or that's Narada Muni. But even within our own movement, we're hearing wonderful pastimes enacted right now, here and now. When I was in Mayapur, I met a friend from America and his wife. And she told me a very, very interesting story. Would you like to hear? She said that she was in Chicago, I believe, and that some friends from Lithuania had decided to move to that place. So they had come over to their house, and they were discussing and talking. So nice to see you. Glad you're moving here. Like this. And then they went back to their place. And that night she had a dream. And in her dream, this is what she dreamed. She dreamed that Gorni Thai came to her. And Gorni Thai said, you know, your friends, they have me inside of this box. And we're very tired of being in this box. We've been in this box too long. We're hungry and we want to come out. And in her dream, she could see it was a green box and that these deities were wrapped in a yellow cloth. So the deities said to her, you tell them that we want to come out of this box and that they should continue to worship us. So the next day, she went over to their house and she said, do you guys have some Gorni Thai deities? They said, yes. Are they wrapped in a yellow cloth and inside of a green box? And she said, yes. How did you know that? And she said, well, I just know. And you better open up that box and let them out because they don't want to be in there anymore and they want something to eat. So then they opened up the box and Gorni Thai came out. So this is a story it's just like Madhavendra Puri or something right out of Bhagavatam, isn't it? How many other people have had similar experiences where Krishna comes to them? Anybody? That means you need to read more. Krishna is very real. Krishna can come to us at any time. Prabhupada is also very real. Prabhupada can come to us at any time. Some people think, oh, Prabhupada has left. This movement has so many problems, da 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 da. No, Prabhupada is right here. Sometimes we hear about the Murti, Srila Prabhupada's Murti, talking to people. In this instance, Krishna came and spoke to this one Mataji. I was in Mayapur. Lord Nisringadev is there. Do you want to hear a story of Lord Nisringadev? Maybe you know this story. Everybody likes stories, though. But I like this story. It's a very interesting story. Another similar situation where the deity is speaking to the devotees. So this one Mataji, she's standing in front of Lord Nrisimhadev, and she hears this voice. Is this a cough candy? No, fisherman's friend. Right? So the voice says to her, I want my eyes back. You've heard this story? No? Yes? Not too many people. So she's thinking, oh, that's my mind. What's my mind doing? Some trick. I want my eyes back now, the voice says again. So then she starts thinking, I have some problem with my eyes. Maybe this is my mind telling me that I want to get my vision back. Then the voice comes a third time. You'll get your eyes back when I get mine. So then she was thinking, oh, I better do something. So after the arti, she went to tell the pujari, Jananivas, who's Lord Nrisimhadev? Pankajanri. So first, she tells Jananivas. And then he says, no, that's not me. You have to talk to Pankajanri, my brother. They're twins. So she went under the altar of Radha Madhava. Pankajanri Prabhu was there, doing some seva. So she tells him the story, how she heard this voice, the Nrisimhadev came to her, that he's asking for his eyes back. And Pankajanri Prabhu was listening. Hey. Gives her some Mahaprasadam, says thank you very much. And she goes away. And she's thinking, oh, he's thinking that I'm crazy. But she just left it at that. So anyway, she went back. The next day, she didn't go to the Artik, but her daughter went to the Artik. The daughter went to the Artik and noticed Nrisimhadev has red eyes. Previously had green. So she came back, Mommy, Nrisimhadev has red eyes now. He has new eyes. So she went immediately to see. And sure enough, the deity had these red eyes. So then she had to inquire. So she went to Pankajanri and said, well, okay, what happened? What's the deal? Oh, when you came and told me that, I understood that Lord Nrisimhadev wanted his original eyes that we had put in when we had did the installation. There was some very wealthy man. He came and he gave these green green gems. And he wanted them to be put on the deity, so we put them on. But when you told me this, then I understood Lord Nrisimhadev wanted the red eyes back, his original eyes. So I put them on. Lord Nrisimhadev spoke through his devotee, you know, it's this common thing around here. So, the interesting thing is that shortly after that, the miracle, her eyes, which had been giving some problems, they become better, became healthy. So the point is that these things are going on right now. Right here, right now, within ISKCON. Devotees are developing their love for Krishna. They're developing their relationship with Krishna. And Krishna is reciprocating. And Krishna says, as you surrender unto me, I reveal myself accordingly. So the more we surrender to Krishna, the more we cry out to Krishna in love, the more we try to spread the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the more we try to help people realize their eternal relationship with Krishna, the more Krishna will become prominent in our lives. So this Krishna consciousness is a fact. It's there for everyone. We simply have to take advantage. Don't be like the man in the cave who's being told, come out into the sunshine. Sun is there, it's beautiful, come outside. No, 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 I don't want to come out. I'm happy in my cave. Don't be like that. Come out of the cave. Come out into the light of Krishna consciousness. And in this way, become happy and give happiness to others. Real happiness, not temporary happiness. Krishna consciousness. Okay, so I think we'll stop here. Thank you very, very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
I'll take a few more. I have my